Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 7th day of January, 2018. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I think it's important today that we start off with another one of those metaphors for our time that's just so appropriate, not to mention a bit, well, more than a bit, hypocritical. And from where else? The very philosophical, if you could call it that, center of the left coast, Hollywood, where the Golden Globes were held last night. And the paragons of self-important virtue and wealth without limit also show that their hypocrisy has no limit, too, because while there are many, many sanctuary cities in the People's Republic of California for illegal aliens, Hollywood evidently isn't one of them. Hollywood's a sanctuary city for those at the very much opposite end of the spectrum. And about the only thing that it seems to have in common with the other sanctuary cities in the People's Leftist Republic is that the ordinary people aren't welcome there either. You're welcome to watch on TV, though, if you just keep your mouth shut. Now, this story comes primarily from the alternative side of the web, places like Breitbart, but you can find it on Variety, too, if you're willing to read between the lines. Here we go. Anti-gun Hollywood celebrities enjoyed all kinds of high-level protection that you peons, of course, aren't entitled to, as they stood behind barricades. I guess they don't like the term walls. Along with their armed guards, LAPD officers, numerous security checkpoints, and even bomb-sniffing dogs, as they arrived on the red carpet for the 2019 Golden Globes Sunday evening. Said an L.A. law enforcement official to Deadline, quote, "Our plan is to have eyes everywhere and shut down any possible disturbance that could arise long before it gets anywhere near the venue or the event." Let me put that in plain English for you, folks. You're not going to see any media coverage of immigrant women pulling their children along towards a danger zone and trying to climb those border walls. But I'm guessing they'll keep the MAGA hats even further out of sight. Variety says the story previewed the heightened level of security expected around the Beverly Hilton, the venue for Sunday night's star-studded ceremony, by noting that the days of being able, you peons anyway, to park on the street, walk up, and get inside may be long gone. They report that, quote, "The city of Beverly Hills has cracked down on allowing crowds near the building." I guess that goes especially for deplorables. And while the Beverly Hills PD wouldn't go into details or specificity on their security plans, they made clear they would be using, quote, "additional staff and security measures to ensure a safe and secure site for the hoi polloi, utilizing the latest technology and best practices for high-profile events," unquote. Unless you think the hypocrisy ends there, Beverly Hills Public Information Manager Keith Sterling made it clear that federal agencies, too, would be involved in the security. No shutdown there. But it does kind of give you another insight into what the critical functions of the federal government really still are. No, folks, I doubt you'll see the actual budget numbers, nor how many miles of different kinds of walls could have been built for the same money. But I do like the Breitbart summary by A.W.R. Hawkins here, when all is said and done. After the good guys with guns keep Hollywood's upper crust safe at the Beverly Hilton, the celebrities can all go back home and wake up Monday morning to resume pushing more gun control for all you peons. And I bet more than a few of them will probably continue to be clueless enough to tell you why walls just don't work. And shouldn't be built anyway, at least not for the wrong kind of people. So let's continue the theme. This next story would be downright funny if it wasn't so tragic, but at least it's basically good news. The now chairman and Democrat, of course, of the House Armed Services Committee has admitted that President Trump really does have the authority, whether they like it or not, to have the military build that southern border wall. When asked on ABC's This Week by George Stephanopoulos whether the president does, quote, have the authority to declare a national emergency and have the military build his wall, the Congress critter answered, quote, "Well, unfortunately, the short answer is yes. There is a provision in the law that says the president can declare an emergency. It's been done a number of times, but primarily it's been done to build facilities in Afghanistan and Iraq." I'm going to pause right there, folks. How the heck does an emergency in Afghanistan or Iraq outweigh anything that might be happening in America? Well, only in America with a K. Back to the quote. "Yes, it's been done a number of times," he admitted, "but it's primarily been done to build facilities anywhere else in the world but here, like Afghanistan and Iraq." And he said, "In this case, I think the president would be wide open to a court challenge saying, Where's the emergency? Unquote. Now, for those of you that aren't already choking on that, in other words, anybody that hasn't been public school dumbed down and knows what's really been going on for over 85 years at this point, there has been a continuing state of emergency in the United States, the formerly free United States, since 1933, and almost all of them a whole lot more bogus than an actual invasion from the South. But just to bring that point home, let's go to the left's preferred so-called news source, the Criminally Negligent Network, which told us in a story dated August 15th, 2017, over a year ago, that there are no less than 28 active national emergencies still in progress at a theater near you. They were bemoaning then the fact that the Trump administration isn't going to add the opioid crisis to that list. But how dare he think about an invasion meriting inclusion? The story says, states of emergency are nothing new for the United States. There are currently 28 concurrent active national emergencies in America. There's been at least one national emergency for nearly four decades straight, and usually, of course, a whole lot more than one. The president with the most aliases declared a dozen. George W. Bush beat that record by one, and nearly all of those are still active today. The undisputed rapist champion president was also the champion emergency declarer with 17, and this story doesn't even go all the way back to the original FDR-era declarations of emergency. No surprise they'd very much rather not talk about that. Instead, they choose to just focus on the National Emergencies Act of 1974 during Jimmy Carter's Iran hostage crisis. And would you like to take a guess at the predominant theme of most of those national emergencies? Sick? If you can say blocking property, you're probably on the right track. We got national emergency after national emergency blocking the property of certain persons from literally just about everywhere, except maybe Hollywood. From Zimbabwe, Sudan, Cuba, the Western Balkans, Belarus, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, North Korea, Lebanon, Yemen, the Ukraine, South Sudan, and of course, Venezuela and Burundi. And no, folks, I don't hear Congress traitors squawking, where's the emergency in pretty much any of those. The rest of the story goes on to bemoan, though, that the opioid crisis will not technically be added to the list because the White House has determined it's more appropriately deemed a public health emergency. Yeah, we got a million ways to get around the Constitution now. Kind of makes you wonder if the communist left would whine less about what's going on at the southern border if the Trump administration declared the invasion by disease-ridden people carrying everything from chikungunya and dengue fever to virulent strains of tuberculosis, something different than the kind that reminds people of the national security failures that are being so overlooked by the witch hunts in Washington. Now, at this point, I guess it's prudent to continue that issue as well, because a lot of people, including your host, have been warning for decades now about the obvious dangers of allowing the executive branch to, well, stroke of the pen, law of the land, circumvent the entire Constitution with that mere stroke of the pen. But it's been going on for decade after decade now, and with the exception of some statesmen with integrity, like Dr. Ron Paul, and the usual Constitution and liberty-oriented types, who of course get demonized with labels like conspiracy theorists for even knowing what the law actually once said. As long as presidents were using that power to subvert the Constitution and undermine the rule of law, Big Brother's minions were just fine with it. There were, to be fair, at least a few principled leftists who have warned likewise that eventually there might very well be a conservative president in office, or at least one that doesn't share the deep state goals, who would tend to undo some of the things these emergencies have been used to do, but they too quickly became persona non grata. Obviously now, though, folks, it's a whole new kettle of fish. How dare the president think he could use an emergency to actually defend the United States against enemies foreign and domestic, rather than surveil, censor, sanction, grope, and disarm the formerly free peons? Just who does this guy think he is? William Cummings and John Fritzi at USA Today weigh in on it, in an article that's about as close to objective as they seem to get. President Trump, they say, or admit, could declare an immigration emergency, but would that get him the funds for a wall? Oh, and here, folks, I do have to hearken back to all of those other emergencies about blocking or seizing assets of certain persons. Is it just beginning to emerge through a glass darkly what some of those criminal persons in the United States might really be worried about? as they pontificate behind their well-guarded walls? We're working up to that. But, says USA Today, as the partial, yeah, that's putting it mildly, government shutdown enters its third week, anybody notice yet? The White House is exploring other options to secure funding for the construction of that border wall with Mexico, including using the president's emergency powers to circumvent Congress altogether. Well, you'd think by now they'd be used to that anyway. Said the president on Friday, quote, "We can call a national emergency and build it very quickly. But if we can do it through a negotiated process, we're giving that a shot." Unquote. As the new and acting White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney, noted on the Clinton News Network's State of the Union on Sunday, presidents do have the authority to defend the nation. So, can he do that? They ask. And for this purpose, they quote Kim Lane Shepley, a professor at Princeton University's Center for Human Values, who said Trump can surely test whether he has the power to declare a national emergency for this purpose. No one else has ever been tested and found wanting, it would seem, but she's not going to point that out. The National Emergencies Act, though, she admits, allows him to declare a state of emergency without approval from anyone else, unquote. And under that 1976 law, the president must cite the specific emergency powers he's activating under existing statutes. You notice, folks, that people have talked for years about requiring presidents and or Congress to cite the Constitution and the powers that give them the ability to do whatever unconstitutional thing they've been doing. No worry on that score. The Congressional Research Service, though, says there are literally hundreds of, quote, provisions of federal law delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. In other words, any time and every time, unless it's that guy now in the White House. The authors cite a 2007 report from that same Congressional Research Service noting that, quote, under the powers delegated, no, not by the Constitution, but by such statutes, the president may, and buckle up for this one, seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a variety of ways, control the lives of United States citizens, unquote. And up until just lately, folks, let me say it again, if you were even to quote studies like that one or various executive orders asserting same, you would, of course, be called a conspiracy theorist. Congress, the story goes on to admit, can terminate a declared emergency, but it requires a joint resolution, in other words, a very high hurdle. And Democrats, now in power in the House, would have to convince Senate Republicans, who still, for now, control that chamber, to join them in blocking a move by the president that they so love to hate. Then they'd have to get a signature from that same president, the guy who declared the emergency in the first place, or more likely, override his veto. Yeah, if you live by the almighty pen, you die by the almighty pen. At least up until this guy got a hold of it. So the question becomes, is this guy even remotely as creative as all the lawbreakers who knew what the meaning of is in the past to come up with an emergency power out there somewhere that allows him to do precisely what presidents have said, yeah, we can do with impunity anyway? Well, among others, the president could declare an immigration emergency under the Immigration and Nationality Act. That would be defined as an influx of aliens, which is either of such magnitude or exhibits such other characteristics that effective administration of the immigration laws of the United States is beyond the existing capabilities, unquote, of immigration authorities in the affected area or areas. All I can add to that is, duh. Oh, and in case you missed it, there's yet another migrant caravan coming up from south of Mexico. At least 15,000 or so expected on this one. And that's not counting the hundreds or thousands a day that are already sweeping over the borders. If there's one thing that's been made clear here over the last few months, though, it's that facts and law, neither one of them, have anything to do with what's being pushed by the swamp critters. To the extent that much of the rest of the arguments in this story about whether an immigration emergency exists or not are downright inane. But here, nevertheless, is where it does get really funny. The final segment in the piece is, what do Democratic lawmakers think? To which your host simply retorts, who cares? And that's the twisted, y'all had it coming beauty of it. When it comes to stupidity on parade, with the obvious exception of the new Queen Prince of Vacuity, Sandy Ocasio-Cortez, it's tough to top the intellectual clueless cowpile from California, Adam Schiff for brains, who actually said that when it comes to Trump's invocation of emergency powers, his, quote, really threatening talk was something he also, quote, doesn't have the power to execute. Now, listen to this, folks, and I'll try to see if I can get through it. Quote, if Harry Truman couldn't nationalize the steel industry during wartime, this president doesn't have the power to declare an emergency and build a multi-billion dollar wall on the border, unquote. Well, you know what, folks? I guess you could say that was then and this is now. Once upon a time, Congress actually had to declare war. Imagine that. They abdicated that power a long time ago, along with all of those other emergency powers to circumvent the rule of law. And that was clearly before we were a way over the top, so far gone communist nation. You know darn well by now that if Hitler was wielding that imperial pen instead, and Big Brother wanted to seize everybody's, I don't know, private information, laptops, and other stuff at airports, or even steel mills, it'd be a whole different story. Which leads me next down a path that you regular listeners know I've consistently warned about. We ought to be very uncomfortable about it. But of course, we should have been uncomfortable about presidents violating the law, gang raping the Constitution, and claiming the authority to legislate for anybody, anywhere, in all cases whatsoever, a long time ago. The incredible irony here on the other side of the coin is that for once, we might actually have a president who's looking to turn back the invasion and complete destruction of the formerly free republics rather than expedite it. No wonder the deep state swamp critters are squealing like stuck pigs. But let's make it clear, that doesn't mean for a second we should trust this kind of power being wielded by anybody, anytime. It's what the Constitution, back when we had one, was supposed to be a bulwark against. But here we are. Mike Adams, therefore, of Natural News, says it's time. President Trump should declare a national emergency, build that border wall, activate the military police, and he's just getting rolling, and arrest the deep state traitors. And at this point, I'll quote him. It's time to activate the military police and hand them a list of the deep state traitors who have attempted to carry out a treasonous political coup rooted in illegal government spying under Barry Sabarco, a.k.a. President Bathhouse Barry, the falsification of so-called evidence used to deceive the FISA court, which is unconstitutional anyway, witness tampering by Robert Mueller, illegal leaks by the whoremeister himself, James Comey, official corruption by Hillary Clinton, and, of course, multiple acts of treason against America approved by Obama and dutifully carried out by the likes of Eric Fast and Furious Holder and Loretta Lynch Mob. Arrest, he says, the deep state traitors, indict them for crimes against America, and prosecute them. In other words, either defend America or we lose America, if indeed it's not already too late. But he's just getting rolling. The journo terrorists who continue to try to foment race wars, Antifa violence, and border invasions by foreign nationals must be named, arrested, and prosecuted. Governors who sign so-called sanctuary state laws must also be arrested and tried for aiding and abetting treason and criminal felons. Tech companies like Gulag and Two Facebook that engaged in coordinated conspiracy to censor conservative, libertarian, and constitutional speech and steal the 2018 midterm elections must be halted, dismantled, and criminally prosecuted. It's time, he said, to release the classified documents that prove Robert Mueller is the criminal he is, an operative working for the Clinton cartel. The documents must be unredacted, and any person in the FBI, DOJ, or State Department that refuses to cooperate with the full release of those unredacted documents should be immediately arrested by military police and charged with acts of sedition. America, he believes, can survive the treachery and treason now being directed against it, but only if those who love this country take decisive action, and I will add, and soon, because if it's not already too late, time is certainly running out, to identify and halt the traitors who are deliberately sabotaging our republic from within. Those traitors, of course, exist throughout the deep state swamp, the anti-American news networks, public universities, and government regulators. All the evidence needed to arrest and prosecute these traitors, he notes correctly, already exists. Exhaustive evidence of a massive deep state criminal conspiracy operating within the U.S. government has been covered up by the likes of Rod Rosenstein, buried by Obama, and ignored by do-nothing Jeff Sessions. Establishment Republican traitors like the late John McCain, Menachemo, attempted to aid the deep state in overthrowing the Trump presidency by ferreting false intelligence to mislead the FISA court. CIA operatives pretending to be journalists, like Anderson Cooper, anyone, helped carry out a public disinformation campaign to mislead the American public and create an utterly false narrative of so-called Russia collusion, where none existed, unless, of course, you're counting the Hitler campaign, Uranium One, and that kind of treason. Thousands of operatives throughout government, he continues, the intelligence community and the fake news media are guilty of a conspiracy to overthrow the American form of government. Mike gets this wrong. It was never a democracy, folks. That's part of the lie. Far too few people know it. But no doubt, he's right here, enough overwhelming evidence already exists to out them and prosecute them. John Solomon at The Hill knows everything and can point investigators in the right direction. It goes without saying, folks, that he and others like him had really better watch their backs. There are folks like Dan Bongino, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, and Alex Jones who have been right all along. There really is a war being waged against America from within, and it's time America activated its own immune system against these traitors. Because if no defense is mounted against this insidious treason from within, America will fall rapidly to the likes of the nutcase from New York, Ocasio-Cortez, and her communist cohorts, who aren't even hiding their motivations anymore. They wish to sweep out every last vestige of the old republic and replace it with a radical left-wing authoritarian regime where all constitutional rights still remaining are utterly null and void. And furthermore, and here there is no denying it at this point, if the deep state traitors aren't outed and arrested soon, the bloody civil war long planned will be utterly unavoidable. And he's not happy with socialist media either. It's time, continues Mike Adams, to dismantle the criminally run tech giants. These evil anti-American corporate enemies, he continues, that answer to communist China must be occupied and disassembled, server by server, cubicle by cubicle. Because their continued existence poses the greatest threat to the First Amendment that our nation has ever endured. The CEOs of Gulag, to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Apple, and other pro-censorship tech giants need to be arrested and charged with violating the civil rights of hundreds of millions of Americans as part of a coordinated conspiracy to enable nationwide election fraud through selective censorship. Now, there be a minefield here, of course. But as your host has pointed out for longer than I can certainly recount, that's the issue. It's always the issue, and it's by design when it comes to public-private partnerships. Because, you see, restrictions like the First Amendment don't apply to private entities, and we already know you're not allowed to be private if you're politically incorrect. But that's the beauty of being a public-private partner now, isn't it? A fascist entity, in other words. You can have the public cake, the private cake, and eat everyone else's cake, too. But he's right, though, to the extent that these truly are cartels, engaged in criminal mob-type control that, if we had something like RICO statutes, should have been employed here a long time ago. Nor does Mike Adams forget the Congress traitors that have been the focus of much ire on the part of your host since last week's most egregious examples. It's time to arrest those members of Congress, he said, who willfully violated their oaths or even lied about them and put their hand on a bogus book to protect and defend the United States Constitution. Those, he says, who've openly and repeatedly violated that Constitution ought to be forcefully removed from office by military police charged with sedition and treason, because, folks, that's exactly what it means to make war against the American people, and prosecuted under military law. That, he says, obviously includes every member of Congress who have voted to disarm the American populace and establish a monopoly of firepower in the hands of a corrupt deep state swamp government, just like we've seen in Venezuela, following the California plan. It's time, concludes Mike Adams, for the president to declare that national emergency, and it's a broad one, and call on all of those who ever took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and meant it to remember what that means. And for all of us, one way or another, it's time to prepare. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.